Okay, Rosa. Okay, I'd like to thank everyone again for inviting me to share some minyanei halacha. Bez Hashem, this week and next week, habal leinu l'tova. Hopefully, at the end of the shiur, if we can stay here for mincha, probably go over a little bit. Rabbi Arieli would want to daven for the omelets, and he usually davens in my regular shiur, so I told him to come here. So those that could stay here for mincha, that would be a good chesed to help put the minyan for Rabbi Arieli. I was just visiting somebody in the nursing home, Fort Troy Nursing Home. His name is Rabbi Teichner. He's the brother-in-law of Rabbi Gedalia Felder. So we have, he's a big Talmid Chacham, and he's here in the nursing home. And so I go to visit him. So I said, you know, today I'm saying a shiur on mezuzah. So the first thing he said, you know, are you going to say over the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel? So I said, okay, if you want me to, I'll say it over. Right, the pasuk in Mia Isha Shabala Baitz V'lo Chanocho Yelech V'yoshev L'beiso, that a person who built the house, these psukim in Shoftim about those that are potter from the Milchama. So a person who is Bona Baitz V'lo Chanocho, Chanukah is coming up. So Pashup Shah Lo Chanocho means he didn't inaugurate the house. He didn't live in the house. He didn't inaugurate the house. So therefore, we're afraid he's going to go to Milchama, someone else will come into the house and take over his house. So he has a right to live in his house a little bit, and even though it means that he can come back from the Milchama, he could go ahead and come back. That's the simple pshat. The Targum Yonasan Ben Uziel says Mi Aisha Shabbanav Bais V'lo Chanocho means that he wasn't koveya a mezuzah on the house, and therefore he should he should come back and put up the mezuzah. It's interesting, I came across this year, I always have to say Chidushim, because Rabbi Orlian hears the shiur every year, so I feel bad, I shouldn't just say the same things I say every year, so there has to be a Sadovish and a Schadeshba. So, the Shem Yishmuel says over an interesting idea. He says that, the Maral Miprag says, whenever you build something, the Maral Miprag says that the Midas Hadin is Shoylit. Because when you build something, by definition, you're making specific borders. Adkan v'sulo. It's defined, a defined area. That's Simtzum, that's Din. Rachamim is something that doesn't have any gvul. That's why the Mefarshim write that Torah Shebichsav is Midas Hadin. Shechter said this over the Rosh, that Torah Shebichsav is Midas Hadin, because it's finite. Torah Shebalpeh is Midas Harachamim, because it's part of a Rava. And that's what the Rabbeinu Bachaya says in Parshas Bo, that the Pasuk Vaydaber Hashem al Moshe Leimor means that when Hashem gave the Torah to Moshe, he gave him the dibur, the Torah Shebichsav. It's Lashon Kosha, it's finite, specific osios. You can't make it more, you can't make it less. And then Leimor is the Midas Harachamim, is the Torah Shebal Peh. Because the Torah Shebal Peh is not finite. The Torah Shebal Peh is part of a Rava. So whenever there's Tzimtzum, that by definition is the Midas Hadin, is Shoylet. So that's what Shem Yishmuel says. That's why whenever you make you build a house, so you have a Chanukah Sabais, and you invite people in, because you have to offset the din with chesed, and then you invite people over, and the huadin, you put up a mezuzah, because the shmira, the rachamim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to offset the din. So that's the so he has a whole arichas about that. I'll have to tell you which parsha it is. It was not too long ago because I said it over in my parsha shir not too long ago. So I'll let you know which parsha it is. So mezuzah is interesting. You know, the Lubavitcher Rebbe was very into the idea that if a tragedy happens, you should, you know, check the mezuzahs. You know, some people are into if there's a problem with shalom bayis, then check the ksuba. You know, but check the mezuzahs. So what's this idea? So the Gemara tells us in Psachim Adav Dalad that mezuzah is chovas hadar. The chiva mezuzah is for a person who lives in the. In other words, if you have a question of a socher and maskir, who puts up the mezuzah? So the maskir owns the house, but the socher is living there, so he needs the protection. So that's the Gemara in Daf Dalet and Masechet Pesachim, and the Rashi there writes that because mezuzah is shomer, and that's shomer the person. So b'meila, the person who needs shmirah is the person who's living in the house. And the Rambam at the end of Hilchas Mezuzah talks about the mezuzah being those are the malachim that are being shomer. So there is a concept that you know that we find by mezuzah being a shmirah that we don't necessarily see by other mitzvahs. Every mitzvah, in a certain sense, is a shmirah. Torah is a mishamer, mitzvah is a mishamer, but we see that that special idea. I mean, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah says that that Unkelus, when they were taking Unkelus out, he said, you know, look at the difference between our king, the Ribbono Shel Olam, and everyone else. Everyone else, if you have to move to the White House, if for some reason you have a reason to move to the White House because you won an election and you move to the White House, so you're going to be living inside in the, you know, Kodesh Panima, you know, there, and they're going to be all these people being shomer you mi bachutz, but the melech, he's inside, and he says, but you see, he says Uncle Asag to the people that that when it comes to the Ribbono Shel Olam, he lets us go in the house and he stays outside representing the mezuzah and does the shmirah for us. So that's another source that's of, you know, mezuzah being a shmira. I don't know ksuba being a shmira so much, but I mean you have to have a proper ksuba. But you know, sometimes people you know. But so you do have this this notion. So therefore, mezuzah is a chovas hadar. So you have to live there. If you don't live there, you're not. You're not chayiv in mezuzah, and the halachas of mezuzah are based on this notion that that the mezuzah is a place that people live in. So therefore, the one basic halacha that the Gemara tells us in Masechta Sukkah Daf Gimel, you can look here on page 2, that there has to be a shear of dira, of a bais. So you could say this is a makam dira. If it's not dalad al dalad, it's not considered a makam dira. But this fits into the whole discussion that the mezuzah is shomer, and it's on it's it has to be a makam dira. So if it's not dalad al dalad, it is Potter min ha mezuzah. The Rishonim claim that there's a machlokas. The Rishonim and the Poskim claim that there's a machlokes between the Rosh and the Rambam. Say Rav Moshe Feinstein says Arba Amos is like 7 feet and 3 inches by 7 feet and 3 inches. Rav Chaim Noah, 6 feet and 3 inches by 6 feet and 3 inches. You know, Rav Chaim Noah is always the smallest shear. Even though you should know, Rav Michal Shurkin writes in his Sefer Megid Givlas Olam that when Rav Chaim Noah's Shiurim came out in Yerushalayim, he was known to be the Machmer. Everything in life is relative. You know, he's a Machmer klape who? You know, who's the right, who's the left, who's the middle? Everyone's always confused. You know, everything is relative. You think he's the right, but he's the left compared to somebody else. So, you know, so his Shiurim were considered more Machmer. Then the Chazon Ish had his Shiurim. So then it would became everything, you know. But at that point, the Chazon Ish was an unknown entity in the world. Chazon Ish was Nechbal HaKelim. He was a very private person. The first time he did something public was when he came out with the Psak that you should keep in Japan. You should keep Shabbos on Sunday, and you should keep. This year, Yom Kippur fell out on Wednesday, and he told the people that they should eat on Wednesday and fast on Thursday, where no one else held that way. And that was like his. There's Professor Brown, he wrote a doctorate on the Chazon Ish. So he claims that that was the time that the Chazon Ish had a public, came out into the public. Because the Chazon Ish was an unknown entity. He was tucked away in Vilna, just learning. And even when he came. Even when he came to Eretz Yisrael, he was unknown. I remember I just paid a shiva call to Rabbi David Eliach, the principal of Yeshiva Flapish, who lost his wife, the late Yaffa Eliach. So I was there, I happened to be there, Rabbi Bullock was there at the same time. So we were talking about the Chazon Ish. So first he says he said he was in Eretz Yisrael, I guess in Bnei Brak in the time, and he heard that there's somebody coming, some special person's coming, even though he wasn't so well known. And he said, I was an 11-year-old kid. So I was curious, he said. Sakran. I was a curious kid. So I want to see who this man is that they're talking about. So he went in to the house, and he saw a man laying in bed with a Gemara. So as an 11-year-old, depends who the 11-year-old is, goes over to him and says, I don't understand. My father learns Gemara, but he sits at a table. And my Rebbe learns Gemara. So the Chazon Ish said to him, I'm a sickly man. And I can't, I'm in pain. And I have to lay on the bed. But that doesn't exempt me from learning Torah. Rabbi Alex said he's used that in many graduations speeches, this story. But he said another story, that the Chazon Ish was in a Beis Medrash someplace, and he didn't wear a rabbinic garb, like not even this type of hat, a hat like a balabas would. Somebody came over to him and didn't know who he was, obviously, and said, this is not for balabatim here. And he got up and left. The Chazon Ish was very Rav Goldwacht, the late Rosh Yeshiva of Keren B'Yavne. Those unfortunately didn't get to know him. The younger generation, he's already passed away like 22 years ago. Some of you were first getting born at that time. But he was a Talmud of the Chazon Ish. Dr. Mordechai Cohen told me that he said over that Chazon Ish had stage fright. He never, and that was confirmed in the art scroll of Rebbetzin Kanievsky book, where it says that Chaim Kanievsky's Chasana, he asked not to get a kibbutz. Chazon Ish, the Gadol Hador, and his nephew was getting married, he asked not to get a kibbutz. Because he didn't do anything in public, not to get a kibbutz. So who was the Masada Kedushin for Rav Chaim Kanievsky? Any clue? Rav Reuven Katz. Who was Rav Reuven Katz? Degel Reuven. His son, Rav Michal Katz, was a Rebbe here, a Rashiv here for like 50 years in YU. again, also before most of your times. And his father was the Rosh Yeshiva, the Lomji Yeshiva, and that's where Rav Chaim Kanievsky learned, in the Lomji Yeshiva. And he was the, so that was his Rebbe. So he was a Masada Kedushin. So the Chazon Ish has long, getting back now to mezuzah. But I tell you, this is important because I feel like in this generation, I'll tell you why, that people are very narrow in their knowledge of the Torah world. And the knowledge of, the people have their Rebbeim, it's very important, but you should realize that whatever you have is a vast Torah world presently and a vast Torah world from generations, that you shouldn't be a narrow person. Some people, I follow this poisek, and this is, and that's not what anyone else says. And so it's a very narrow, I see this here, in this generation. It's important to try to train Talmidim to have some breadth and knowledge of Torah. So the Chazon Ish, so Rav Chaim Noah, say 6 foot and 3 inches by 6 foot and 3 inches. Moshe. And the Moshe is 7 feet and 3 inches, and Rav Chaim Noah is like a foot less. So the question is, what if it's 8x2? What if it's 8x2? 8x2. So that's 16 square amos. So does that count, or do you daven need? So classically, people claim, not just some people. I mean, the Rush claims this, and the Shach claims this, and then not just some balabas who was thrown out of the, not just some, maybe Chazon Ish. We'll see in a second. So the Rush is the one who officially says it has to be 4x4, and the Rambam says it even 8x2. And that's what the Shach writes as well. But if you look, the Taz says that the whole world got it wrong. The Taz in Hilchas Sukkah. The Taz in Hilchas Sukkah says that there's no such thing. Page 6 here, you can see the Taz. Timihani Tarbe Aksus Einayim Shir Isi L'Rabboseinu B'zeh. He says, he thinks they all got it wrong. Because if you look in the Rambam, he doesn't say that. Because the Rambam's the one, because the Rambam says, Im Yesh Bo Kedei L'Rabeya. So some So people read Halacha Beis to say that 8x2 is good, but if you look carefully, he doesn't say that, as the Taz points out. All he says is that even if you have to be able to inscribe a square that's 4x4. But he doesn't say that if it's 8x2 is good. If I can't, 8x2 is no good according to the Rambam also. If you look carefully, the Rambam never said that. That's what the Taz claims. And the Chazon Ish supports this Taz. That if it's not Dalad al Dalad, so then you don't need to put a mezuzah, and dalad by dalad. So what's the chiddush of Kedei L'Rabeya? Because in other words, you think, if the Rambam's telling me 8x2 is good, then that's a chiddush. But if he's just telling you, if you have a room that's not a square, I need to be able to inscribe a square in it. So why is that a chiddush? What's the chiddush of that? So Rav Yitzchak Abadi in his Shuvus Or Yitzchak writes, if you look at the Rambam in Hilchas Negoim, the Rambam says that for a bias to be a bias for Hilchas Tumas Tzaras, it has to be, it can't be a circular room. So that's the Chiddush. In other words, even if it's a circular room, it's still Chayav and Mezuzah, as long as you can inscribe dalad al dalad. But if it's 8x2, so you can't even inscribe a square that's dalad by dalad, then not. By the way, if you want to see a lot of these things I've been saying over today, except for the stories, is found in a recent article that I wrote in Beis Yitzchak on Kfiyas, mezuzah. Maybe we should xerox it and give it out, whatever. But like a year or two, like last year or two, within the last recent year or two. So Rabosai, so what do we do now? What do we do if we have a room that's not dalet al dalet? Now, if you live in Washington Heights, that's a very common occurrence. You know, you have small rooms for small... You know, sometimes people ask me to come to more illustrious, wealthier neighborhoods, and you have big houses that are... that they have 15 rooms that are, you know, when people come, ask me to come here in the Heights, Bekoshi, you can find one room that you can make a bracha on. Bekoshi. Because, look, you walk into the room, the first room you walk into an apartment. Like my apartment in the Heights. So, you walk into a little alcove there. It's not dalet al dalet. It's not dalet al dalet. Till the next Tzuras HaPesach comes. So between the opening of my apartment door till the next Tzuras HaPesach is not dalet al dalet. So what do you mean to tell me? I shouldn't put a mezuzah on my front door. Is that what you mean to tell me? So the minhag olam is to put the mezuzah on the front door. Because a lot of times, even in wealthy neighborhoods, so a more... you know, advanced neighborhoods. You can come into a big house and it's not dalet al dalet. They have a little foyer there, and then there's another door, and then you come into a bigger room. So it's a rachmanis on the mishulachim if they wouldn't be mezuzahs, because they wouldn't know who to go to, right? Be rachmanis on the mishulachim. So the ma'ase, the minhag olam is to put the mezuzah. So we follow. There's an opinion of the Chamudei Daniel. Now, there's many parts to the Chamudei Daniel. You see, what's difficult about the Chamudei Daniel is quoted in the Pesachet Shuvi on page 5. It's Chamudei Daniel Chof Yud. What does Chof Yud mean? Savyad. So, we don't really fully have it. I mean, Nachum Butler... was nice enough to buy me a Chamud, the printing of the Chamudei Daniel when they printed some of the Ksav Yad. They actually printed it not too long ago. So he bought it. But in the Ksav Yad, he makes reference to some other thing that he wrote. But it gives a little bit of a clarification. So he says two things. One thing he says speaks about Beishar. That if something is a Beishar, meaning it's leading into something else. It's not a room that you spend time in to live in. It's a ma'var, as we say in Hebrew. It's a passageway. So he wants to say that all Beishar, by definition, do not need dalet al dalet. Because the whole point of dalet al dalet, we said before, mezuzah, like the Gemara says himself, it's chovas hadar. So this is part of my living experience, is I have a room that I pass through to get to the place where I really spend time, where I have a suda in, where I go to sleep in, and so that's good, that a beishar doesn't need to be dalet al dalet. Okay? So that's as Rav Ara... Rav Aaron Feldman's from Ner Yisrael, his son, wrote a sefer in Yoni Mezuzah. So he writes that became the minhag olam, which is, you know, the reality. That became the minhag olam. Could be became the minhag olam because people don't really know the halacha, whether it should or should not. But it came the minhag olam because, like, pasnished, I'm not going to have a mezuzah on my front door. So, okay, maybe... minhag, you know, you know, people didn't know, but so they were mechaving to this notion, whether they knew it or they didn't know it, or whatever it is. If you're a purist, like Rav Yitzchak Abadi in his old house in Lakewood, when he lived there, the first machzor, so he had a house that had a little chamber in the front, and then you go into the bigger parts. So he didn't put a mezuzah on the front door because he's a purist. Dalet al dalet. There's no exceptions to the rule. Dalet al dalet. And the new house that he lives in now in Lakewood, that the front door opens up into a big room, so that he has on the front door. But the Minhag Olam, the people put the mezuzah on the front door, because even if it's not a room of Dalet al dalet, it's a beishar, and they put up. Yeah, someone had a question. Yeah.
Is the idea that like the shear of dalet al dalet is only a chashivas for dira, and like the what he says like gina and merpesa and whatever, like,
yeah, so that
yeah. Some chashivas,
so yeah, like, so we'll get to that. So that's one thing he says. Yeah, I'm gonna get to that in a second. Yeah.
Even though that's the minute that was a pasha, do we now make a bracha
there? Yeah, so I don't encourage people to make a bracha there because it's not. Yeah, it's suffik brachas. So. You find another. I mean, a person has a big house. Will have plenty of rooms that have dalet al dalet that he could make a bracha. Here in the Heights, there could be sometimes there could be a problem. But usually, the bedroom has the dalet al dalet. Even though that's a question we'll talk about shortly. So the Chabad Neil says that, but he says another chiddush, that he says that even if you have a small room, so that's the second chiddush. But one chiddush is that the Beishar doesn't need dalet al dalet, and the other chiddush is if you have what we would call today a closet. A closet that's not dalet al dalet. Many of our closets are not dalet al dalet. So the Michas Yitzchak points out there are two types of closets. There's one closet that you just put your hands in. So there's no knisa. Just put your hands in. So that's not chayiv and mezuzah according to any opinion. But what we call a walk-in closet means I walk into the closet because it has a little depth to it. Even though a lot of the walk-in closets, at least in this neighborhood, don't have dalet al dalet, according to any opinion of dalet al dalet, even the most small shear of dalet al dalet, we don't even have. But you walk in, so the Chabad Neil says that you put a mezuzah also. So what's the svara? So if Chaim Kalman Gutman once pointed out to me the Rashash in Sukkah and Dav Gimel, says, based on the Gemara in Erevin, Chazi Lemilse, that if something is roy for its use, as we said before, dalet al dalet is the shear of dira. So if I'm going to live in a room that's dalet al dalet, or less than dalet al dalet, so I won't be able to survive. And if you can find some eccentric person who will do that, you know, batlo daito. But it's not, you know, the Torah was given alfi the normal people, what normal people do in normal situations. So it's not a mokum dira. I can't live if it's not dalet al dalet. But one second. But if I need a closet, you know, so, you know, my room, it's not dalet al dalet, but the shirts didn't complain and the shoes don't complain. And everyone's happy, so it's functional and it does what it needs to do, and so that's called. So if you are a purist, as you say, no, dalet al dalet is a shear. That's the way the koveh is shear. So it doesn't matter whether it's it's for the clothing or for you. It's a chiddush. Both parts are a chiddush. So some people, like Rabbi Tuchman, who I was just in his house in Passaic the other week, so he follows the part of the Chabad Neil of the Beishar, but on something that's not dalal al dalal, I think from David or Reuven Feinstein, that he doesn't put on because this is a shir. And Beishar, that was one. That's what Rabbi Feldman's son writes also, that the minhag definitely became by the Beishar, but not necessarily by the what? By the Hadarim Ketanim. Yeah, what were you saying?
The Sodom, the Rishash, I think, is mashma here in the Pesachim also. The near Dafka Beis Dira
Tzaret Dafka. Right, yeah, that's how he explains. Okay.
If a person has a closet that is Dalet al Dalet, but part of that Dalet al Dalet, the shelving that are coming out of the wall. So do we look at the air space?
Yeah, the air space. In other words, if something is Kavua, Bakarka.
Yeah, right under the wall to the shelf coming out.
And it's built in.
It's attached to the wall.
Right, so that's poches. But something that's movable, then the poches is in that poches. Oh. Now, there is a famous Rabbi Akiva Eiger that's famous in the world. I'd say it became famous because of the Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish made it famous. And he says a new idea. Also a novel idea. Both things. Chamudin Nil is a novel idea, and the Rebbe Akiva Eiger is a novel idea. Rebbe Akiva Eiger is of the opinion, the way, this is, I'll tell it over the way the Olam says it, and then not everyone agrees that that's the Pshat in Rebbe Akiva Eiger, but the way the Olam says over the Rebbe Akiva Eiger is whenever you have a small closet or something like that, so it's not Dalal Dalal, so it's not Chayiv Mezuzah, and it's not a Beishar, and he doesn't hold from the Chamud Ediniel. So you'd ask me, if you don't hold from the Chamud Ediniel, I say, you're Potter. So he says, no. You have to put it on the right side going from the closet back into the room. In other words, say you have a room that's a big room, and in your room you have this walk-in closet. So the walk-in closet is not Dalal Dalal. So Mamela, it's not Chayiv Mezuzah. And if you don't have Chamud Ediniel, so that's not Chayiv. So it's not Chayiv. So what should you do? So you should put the Mezuzah on the right side going into the back into the room. So because then there's a knisa to that to the cheder that it's part of. So that's what some people do. Some people are very into this. Chazon Ish was into it. Some people are very into this Rebbe Akiva Eiger. I am not from the people that are into this Rebbe Akiva Eiger. I'll explain to you why. But there are many rabbanim that are into this Rebbe Akiva Eiger, if that's what he says. At least these people think that's what he says.
If the closet is not leading anywhere, like the fact that
well, the closet is going to be adjacent to another room. Say, like a bedroom, right? So you have a closet in the bedroom. So when you walk into the closet, you walk into, then you walk back from the closet into the bedroom.
So, what? Because they can't be considered part of the bedroom because it's
a Pesach? Yeah. So it's a separate room because it's own Surah Pesach. So I'll tell you the reason I think that it's schwer, this Rebbe Akiva Eiger, and there's a question whether what he really meant. We'll say that in a second. But let's assume he means what people think he means. It's that to me, this Rebbe Akiva Eiger goes against. Or this version of Rebbe Akiva Eiger goes against the Yisod of Hilchas Mezuzah, all the Yisodos of Hilchas Mezuzah, the Ainu. You see, one Yisod in Hilchas Mezuzah is you have this room here, this room we're in now. So there's a mezuzah here, right? Coming in. So why don't we put another mezuzah on the other side? We're going into the hallway. So we have two mezuzahs. One mezuzah coming in, one mezuzah going into the hallway. So, lo matzinu dover kazeh. Why? Because the fundamental yesod in Hilchas Mezuzah is Ksavtem al Mezuzos Beisecha, the Mar Darshans, Derech Bioscha. That Mezuzah is only on entrance. Mezuzah is only on entrance, not on exit. The Chiyuv Mezuzah is entering. So, Al Korcha, you have to say that the first Hiluch into a Mokum is called the Knisa. When you go out, the backtracking, you don't say, that's a Knisa into the hallway. I got here through the hallway. I came in the room. Now, I'm going, the Shir's going to be over, I'm going to go out. So, you don't say, there's a Knisa now into the hallway. No, you call it a Yitzia from this room. And whenever these a Yitzia, so there's no chova, there's no chiv of mezuzah on Yitzia. And backtracking, Al Korcha, is called Yitzia. Because if it was not, then every room that we would have, we would put two mezuzahs, one for the Knisa here, one for the Knisa there. Al Korcha, we don't do such a thing. Even though there is Rav Yaakov Emden in one place writes that if it's a safek, which way the mezuzah go, maybe you should put two mezuzahs, but we don't do such things. It's awkward, and we don't do it, and it's not something you should ever do, to put two mezuzahs on one door. Meaning, if you put two mezuzahs on the same side, then you violate Baal Tosef. If you don't put it on the same side, then according to 99.9% of the Achronim, you don't violate Baal Tosef. There's a one Maram Shik that seems to say otherwise, but because Mamanavsha, one is right and one is wrong. Just like it says in Shulchan Aruch, it's also to wear two pairs of tefillin at the same time. Most of us don't do that. Right? We have one pair of tefillin. Because if you wear two pairs of tefillin at the same time, you violate Baal Tosef. Unless the Shulchan Aruch says that one is Rashi, one is Rabbeinu Tam. So then, the Man of Shach, one of them is Pasul. So technically, if I'm not sure which should be the right way to put it, so I want to come this way, that way, I'm not sure, so I put one here. So, according to 99.9% of the Achronim, it's not Baal Tosef. It's just a shtus to do such a thing. I mean, I shouldn't speak so harshly, but there is one Achron said, but it's not such a thing. But if you put it on the same side, two mezuzahs, that's Baal Tosef, unless one of them is possible. You know, a couple of years ago, Rabbi Rekefet, you know Rabbi Rekefet, that I don't have to tell you, from Gruss, was here for a couple of days. You know, he's always a very interesting personality to schmooze with. See, those that went to Gruss know him quite well. His best book, by the way, is The Silver Era. Okay, you should read that. By Rav Lazer. It's all about Rav Lazer Silver. Those that went to Kerem Yavne, Rav Aaron Silver is his grandson. He was a colorful goggle in Cincinnati. Blazer Silver. He was a big goin. You know, we're talking about like the caliber of what you would call Rav Moshe Feinstein, and that's, you know, that caliber. Oh. So he told me, Rabbi Rekefet, he said, you should look in the Igros Moshe. There's a tshuva in the Igros Moshe to me. I said, yeah? Well, you have to know one thing, that, you know, when he was in America, his name was Rothkopf. Rekefet is a, you know, when people go to Israel, they become very, they change their names to, you know, like there's Jack Ganak, he's now Yaakov Nagain, you know, different people have, Avir Dert Yisrael is somehow changes people's name to the gray size. So he says he was living in the Bronx, right? He grew up with Rabbi Schechter in the Bronx. Living in the Bronx. So I'm sure you've all seen this. You've all seen this sight. You go into a house and you see there on the side is this little mezuzah there. This mezuzah was probably painted over like 10 coats of paint. You know, you've seen that site. You know, there's little mezuzah there. Who knows what's there? So Rabbi Rekefe wanted to, you know, he doesn't know. Who knows who, when that mezuzah was bought 105 years ago, and with all the paint and all the thing that was put there, who knows what's there? So he wants to get a nice new mezuzah. But it's such a pain in the neck to have to unearth. So why doesn't he just put up that mezuzah and he'll have kavona to mevatel previous mezuzah? And could he do that? Or does he have to, you know, whatever tircha it takes to take that other mezuzah out there, we'll have to hire somebody or whatever and chisel away until you extricate that mezuzah from the tohen. So Rav Moshe wrote him a tshuva, and he quotes the sugya in Menachas of Ehitil Mutelis, which is a shaila whether you put extra tzitzis. So you have a beged with tzitzis, and now you want to put another set on the tzitzis. So there's a whole sugya there about being mevatel. You know, if you have kavara lahosif or lavatel, whatever it is. So the achrei kechalos hakol, you see the tshuva. But Moshe writes that according to most shitas in that sugya, if you put an extra tzitzis that's on the corner of the beged, that you have two sets of tzitzis from the same corner coming out, that is baltosif. So he said the same thing by mezuzah. So he wrote him the tshuva that he should take out the mezuzah, not put up another mezuzah till he takes off this one, and that was the story. Yeah.
Rebbe was talking about how you can't put two mezuzahs. So what do you do if it's mamish not nicker? What if you have the door that's completely equally used in both directions? Like I was thinking of a mushroom, like, you know, in these hotel rooms they have the doors in between the two rooms sometimes if you own both rooms.
Yeah.
So people are equally going from the one room to the other. There's
right. So there's a question of what's called knisa, right? What's called knisa? What's called yitzia? So one of the klolim is cheder pnim in cheder chitzel. Whereas I cannot get into this room only going through the hallway. So this is called a cheder pnimi, and the hallway is a cheder chitzel. So Mamela, the pnimi is always called the knisa to the pnimi, right? But if there's, you can get through it either way, which is an opening on the other side, right? So then there's a question whether you follow. How do you define what's? See, this room is pretty posh. This is the knisa. Except if this would be a Lubavitcher yeshiva, which it's not. You know, even though we have, okay. So I'm not an anti-Chabad person, so I'm not here to, you should know, when I was a young fellow, I said I have to spend Shabbos with the Rebbe, so I spent Shabbos with him. I said, because the whole world is traveling to see the Rebbe, I live a 10-minute car ride away, I shouldn't spend Shabbos with the Rebbe. I was also a curious person, you know. So I spent Shabbos in Crown Heights with the Rebbe. I mean, with the Rebbe, with the community, down with the Rebbe. The Rebbe was an interesting man. So Chabad, you see, he just walked out. So Chabad Shita is that whichever way the door opens, that's called the Knesa. That's called the Knesa. So in a Chabad, if this would be a Chabad institution, the mezuzah would be going on the other side, going out into the hallway. That's called, in Chazal, that's called Heker Tzir, which Bizman Chazal, that meant that there was a hole in the ground and there was a rod coming, you know, a vertical rod coming out of the hole, and then the door would, so which room the hole was in. You know, a hole like it looks like a hole, like, you know, we play miniature golf, you know, play regular golf, but, you know, I'm not on that darga. So whichever room the hole would be in, that's the panimi. So we don't really have those type of doors. So in modern day equivalent is which way the door opens. So therefore so for most poskim, that's the tiebreaker, the heketzir. That's the tiebreaker. In other words, if you don't know which is, you know, some people say if you don't know, then you follow which room is more chashuv, used more often. And some say no, the flow of traffic is the most important thing. I follow the halakha, the shita, that the flow of traffic is the most important. Because that's what Rav Goodman said to me, because the whole chiyuv of mezuzah is derech biyoscha, that creates the chiyuv. So the flow of traffic would be the, and some people claim that the which room is used more often. And then if you can't tell that, so then you go bust to the heketzir. But Chabad, Minna Chabad is the heketzir, they bump that to the top. That's the, except for the outer door. In other words, even for the outer door, even if it'll open out, they'll put the mezuzah going in, because that they can't say that that's the, you can't view it in any different way, the outer door. Because they asked the Rebbe, how could you say that a room like this, how could you call this the, you know, the Knesset, how you call it the Yitziah? So his teretz was the, I guess it's a Rebbe's teretz, and that is, you can come, theoretically you can come in through the window. So even though that's not what we do, but since in theory there's that possibility, so that but most of those Chabad, you'll go, you'll see that's what they do. And Rav Moshe Feinstein has this tshuva. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a lot of interesting tshuvas. Rav Moshe was a very creative thinker, Rav Moshe. And he didn't have so many svarim. So everything, all those svarim he thought on his own. Both creativity and, like Rav Kahneman said, his creativity. And Lomdus, this all is... He was machaving into things on his own. He didn't have svarim. He just had a shas and a rambam and a tour and a shulchan aruch and nothing more, too much than that. So he says that, say you have, there's no heketzir because it's one of these sliding doors, so you can't, so, and everything else is equal. So he writes a tshuva, potter min ha-mezuzah. Because he learns, there's a lot of lumdus in Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe learns that the chiyuv mechayev mezuzah is what? Is the knisa. So if it's not a knisa hanikeres, then there's no chiyuv. If it's not a knisa hanikeres, there's no chiyuv. That was his thing. Rav Shachter says over that he heard from Rav Belsky, Zatzal, that that Lemaisa, when these shilas would come up, Rabelsky's experience with these shilas with Ramosha, when there was no Hecker Tzir and there was an even Stephen, Ramosha would say, "So what did you do?" And they would say, "We did this." So, okay, leave it that way. It was because Meger, then he held it was really putter, and he just whatever you do is good because it's really putter anyway. He also has a tshuva where that if you put a mezuzah on the mokum that's putter, you don't violate Bal Tosif either. So you have nothing really to lose. According to, yeah.
Does the Babish have this anywhere from the Baal Tanya, or it's only
the... Yeah, the... It's not in the Valentine. It's not in the Valentine. No. If you want to have a packet online, you can see where it came from, you know, the Rayats did, they have a whole thing of, I don't know if the Rayats was the first one, or as the Rebbe's father was. He already had it, but it's nowhere, to my reference, nowhere in the in the Tanya does it say like that. I once spoke to Rabbi Yehuda Marlow about this. He was the Borah Haran, Crown Heights, and he said, "Yeah, Pashas is against the Poskim, but this is the minute." That's what he said to me. Well, Chabad had a lot of big Morah Harah. Rav Dworkin, that was the big Morah Harah in Chabad. And then he was Nifter several years ago in the Nifter. But a lot of the things of Chabad don't necessarily always go back to the Baal HaTanya. Like the famous Chabad Mikvah. Is not from the Rav Shechter says from the Baal HaTanya, but it's really not from the Baal HaTanya. It's from the Rashab. He was the one who was mechadesh that mikvah. You know, Borg, Rabbi Borg, invite me back for. I always tell Rabbi Orlin, he has to invite me back for the date line, because one of these years he'll invite me for the date line. We'll discuss. Okay. There's another shaila about the mirpeset shaila. In other words, if you have a balcony, like on the Lower East Side, my in-laws are from the Lower East Side, so they live in those buildings where Moshe lived, and they have every floor has a balcony. So the shaila is whether you put a, what's the story with a mezuzah on a balcony? So Rav Moshe writes in the Tshuva, based on the Taz in Maril, that you put it going out onto the balcony, which I like intuitively because I'm a very big person who believes in Derech Hiluch, and I'm not into Rabbi Kiva Eger. Oh, Rabbi Kiva Eger, you know, because I told you that I'm very against the backtracking idea. Even though Rabbi Kiva Eger himself writes, you view the closet like Avir, but Lemaisa, like someone said, like a Kronosberg said, it's not the Avir. So it's backtracking. So I'm very into this, into going into the, if it's, you know, assuming it's Dalet al Dalet, or at least according to some Shitas, Dalet al Dalet, so then you put it going out from the house onto the, and the Chazanish was into putting it going in. Well, that works in well, because the Chazanish was a Rabbi Kiva Eger person. And so the backtracking thing, you know, he somehow, I think the safest Chesed Lavram. He, if you want to see it, maybe we'll get the article. I wrote this all up in an article from the Beis Yitzchak, but maybe should. You sent it out. Oh, Rabbi Wolin, you see? You press a button, and it's already. It's already there. So the Chazanish was into Rav Abai, he's also into going in, but so those that are follow that shita will put the mezuzah going in. This they hold that the chiyuv, like Rav Shef explained, the Chazanish, that the chiyuv of the mirpeset is only because it's nitpal to the rest of the house, and therefore it's okay. You know, there was when I first came to YU, there was no security here. Everyone called Dichvin Yesei V'Yechol. Anyone could walk in any building you want at any time. Everybody who was not 100% or not even 50% could walk in the buildings here. And I remember I'm sure you know those in the Rav Shachtish, you probably know Dr. Alan Weissman. So he was once mugged on 186th Street, on the entrance of the old building on 186th Street, that side entrance. So he was mugged over there. So, and then there were other incidents. That wasn't. So they decided one day they should have security here. So now they have security. So when they were making that doorway on 186th Street, in the recent past, when Moshe Przeworski was involved in the mezuzah thing here, so they were going to make it only an exit. So it was purple from inside could come out that door, but they didn't want people to come. They don't want people to come in from the street. I think that's the way it is now. They shouldn't come into the street. So that's just an exit. So the shaila is, when something is just an exit, what's the story? Something's just an exit. So there are three approaches to the three possibilities what you can do with an exit. One approach, this Rabbi Body holds, is saying it's potter, because it's not a knisa, it's only a tzia. Shoy, potter. The other approach, what Shekhar once mentioned, is to put it going in, even though that's not the chiluk, but. And the other approach is to just put it going out. Rav Moshe Feinstein claimed that that's what Rabbi Akiva Eiger was saying in the famous Rabbi Akiva Eiger. He wasn't saying this whole thing about, he was just saying that there's a chova even when you're going out of a room. And he says then, and he thought that was true of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Rabbi Moshe Tochum pointed this out to me, and then he says, but you can't say such a thing. So usually we say either it's potter or it should, like Rav Abadi, or put it going in like Rav Shechter. Going out is a vishal shver to say that they put a mezuzah just going out into a mirpeset, so it has walls around it, so you consider that a bias. But just going out into the yonder to put a mezuzah, so it's a shver zach. Two places I've seen this going out. It's shver, but the two places I've seen it is in Tower 41. Tower 41, everyone has a grandmother in Tower 41, you know, in Florida, even though it's in the Zika zone now. So it's in Tower 41, they have an entrance and an exit. So the entrance, this is going in, and the exit, it's going out. So if you can't make it to Tower 41, and you happen to be around Stern College, so in the. You're engaged already, so it's for those that are not, so you want to be around Stern College. So they have it like that. Going in, they have a mezuzah going in. Going out, they have a mezuzah going out. So 186th Street, one second, so back to 186th Street. So I was following the shita that exits, like everybody said, that don't need a mezuzah, and then. But then they did it that sometimes people do go in. So then I told Moshe Przeworski to put a mezuzah there, going in.
Would that
open,
like a staircase patio?
Would that? You mean as a beishar? Yeah. I don't know if it's you know, dollar. But I told you, in the old days, when Dr. Weissman was mugged there, you know, several years, so that was before, so then everyone could go in and out, it was a free-for-all here. But now that, in the special recent years, they didn't want people to go, so, but that, they have some guards or something go in sometimes, so I told them to put a mezuzah going in. I don't like the idea of putting a mezuzah. Either I could hear putting no mezuzah at all, or mezuzah going in. Mezuzah going out into the street, that I'm not so, even though there are maybe some rabbanim who held that way, whoever put all those mezuzahs, there could be some, but I'm not so comfortable with that shita. So either don't put it at all, which originally we had it like that, no mezuzah was just an exit, or put it going in. Yeah?
If the pointer of a body shita, if it was both ways, and then the rule was changed to only make it go out, and mamish no one ever went in that way, would you take the mezuzah off, or...?
These things are complicated because, it could be someone will go in, It's hard to, to break a chiyuv is much harder than to create the chiyuv in the first place.
Would there be a problem leaving it on?
As I told you, to put a mezuzah when there's no chiyuv is not, it's just a silly thing. I mean, that's why I said this on day one when they opened up the Gluck based medrash, let's talk about the side of the Gluck based room near the bathroom, that doorway. So that doorway has a mezuzah in the middle of a wall, because basically the wall continues and there's glass doors. That's modern, glass doors, but everything's glass. It's, everyone wants everything glass. I happen to like the bricks and this, but the modern, that's what they did to the library. They took the bricks away, they put glass. So the glass is the warm, the modern approach. So that glass doors, it doesn't have any Tzuras HaPesach. It's just glossos. So they have a mezuzah where the door is, in the middle of the wall. I don't know. Some say there was no mezuzah there, really. I don't know. So I don't think there's any chiyuv, according to any opinion. Rav Getzel Berkowitz, I don't know if you ever heard of him. He's one of the biggest goyim in America today, believe it or not. He's the dayan Kiryas Yoel in Monroe. So he wrote a sefer called Egle Dvash, and he has a discussion. In Hilchas Erevin, go and learn Erevin. So in Hilchas Erevin, there's a din. What's the din? That you need, if you have a pirtza, there's an opening in the wall, so that passes the wall. You have the omid rubal parts, so you can put a tzuras haPesach. And they'll masakin it. Or you could have glossos. And glossos, you can put glossos. And glossos, the Gemara says, works even for a shusar adam. If the glossos nulos balayla, which is not so practical in this day and age. So a delis is a din of a mechitza plus. But the chiddush of a delis is that even when the delis is opened, it has a din mechitza. Now, when the delis is closed, so, like, you go into these public schools, they have the big yard, with the barbed wire fence, and they have an opening. So sometimes it could be a big opening, it could be a pirtz of more than 10 amos, so it will be but if the delis is closed, then it's a mechitza. So the question is, what's the din when the delis is opened? So Pasha says, when the delis is opened, it's not a what? It's nothing. It's avir. So there's a big machlokes. Who's the machlokes between? Well, we'll say like this. The Radzina, the Bala Tchelis, the Radzina Tchelis. So the Radzina wrote a sefer on Tchelis, and in the same sefer on Tchelis he wrote about the losses. That was his thing, Tchelis and the losses. And he's Mechadish, and the Avnei Nezer subscribes to his Chiddush, that a delis is a din of mechitza even when it's open. As long as you're going to shut it at night, it has a din of a mechitza even when it's open. And that works even in Rosh Hashanah if it's nulos balayla. Machlokas, whether it's nulos balayla or royis lino balayla. Machlokas, and that's what the Avnei Nezer says. And Rabbi Yisrael Moshe Sif told me that the Rav Oshri, who was the Mimamakim, who was a Rav on the Lower East Side, he told him, if you don't rely on this Avnei Nezer, then in Europe, a lot of places, the Erevin wouldn't be good, because they relied on Dlossos that were Nulus, Ruus, Luno, Balayla. And so the Chazon Ish, again, this is, Chazon Ish was a big, Chazon Ish was an independent, you know. Chazon Ish was a nistar, I told you before. He learned by, that's why Rav Henkin thought that certain psakim, maybe if he would have learned with some other people, I don't know. Chazon Ish was a Chazon Ish, so he can't, you know, we're not here to say anything, you know. But Chazon Ish sometimes said things that other people didn't say, like what he said about the Dateline, even though he's claimed that that's what the Rishonim said, but not everyone accepted that. But he says like this, that Adelis, if it doesn't have a Tzuras HaPesach, that's nothing. Because you need your Mechitza. So if the door's open, Ribbono Shel Olam, so you have nothing. So what's the Pshat in Adelis? Chazon Ish says, Pshat in Adelis is you have a Tzuras HaPesach, but you have a Bekiyas Rabin. So if you have Adelis Mulus Malayla, that's Mavatel the Bekiyas Rabim. So what's your Mechitza when it's open? The Tzuras HaPesach. But the Adelis preserves the Tzuras HaPesach. But if you don't have the Tzuras HaPesach and the Adelis is open, you have nothing. So that's why the Chazon Ish, you never find this in the Chazon Ish. You know, the Chazon Ish has a table of contents in the beginning of the Sefer. So in the table of contents is just, usually he doesn't make comments. He just says this halacha, that halacha. And this thing, this is the only time I ever saw this in the Chazon Ish. In the table of contents, he writes, Ma'od ma'od li zoher, that every delas needs to have, what? A tzuras ha-pesach. And if there's not a tzuras ha-pesach, you have nothing. Because, again, when it's closed, okay, it's closed. But when it's open, and most of the, you know, like, you can have a delis in a community, and by yom it's going to be open, but there's no tzuras ha-pesach, so you have nothing. So the Radzin and Avnei Nezer said, no, the fact that the delis is there, even b'shas, that it's open, is considered a mechitza. The question is, who's the Almila Havi Raya here? Is an interesting discussion. You know, who's the Pashtus and who's the not Pashtus. But that was that's a very fundamental machlokas. You see, in certain communities, they can't put up a Tzuras HaPesach for legal reasons or that. So they make, this Rabbi Ralbag in Brooklyn, he made in Amsterdam, he made losses. So you know what his losses is like? You know what it reminds me of? It's like an accordion. In other words, basically you have your accordion on one side of the street, and then theoretically you could pull it out to the other side, you know, bigger. I mean, he did it with Lovett strings. You could pull it out to the other string, and that's how he made the Erev in Amsterdam, assuming not like the Chazon Ish, because you didn't have the whole point was you didn't have a Tzuras HaPesach, so they would so getting back to this thing. So Rav Getzel Berkowitz writes in the Egle Devash, he says, we have a machlokas in Erevin by whether, you know, if you have a delis below Tzuras HaPesach, whether that's a good mechitza. He says, that's in Erevin you have such a thing. Maybe it's a mechitza. But for mezuzah, lo matzino, that there's any shita that's going to be mechayev a delis Blitzurus HaPesach. So that's what basically the Gluck thing, over, at least by the bath, the side by the bathroom, is Adelis Blitzurus HaPesach. So there's no Chiv of Mezuzah according to any opinion, I'll be Pashad. A Kamo Pligi only by the Vat, by Shabbos.
What exactly is the definition of
Tzoros HaPesach? Tzoros HaPesach, Kona Mikan, the Kona Mikan, the Kona Al Gabeya. Kona Mikan, Kona Mikan, Kona Al Gabeya.
So the minimum shear of each Kona?
No, mashal. Has to be very fucking high. Now, I'll tell you, let me tell you something.
What does that mean, mashal? This can be like
foot tall. No, it has to be, no, there's the thickness. Okay? Let's say it's a pesach. What we call in modern Hebrew an Erev. Oh, so I'll tell you something else. I published this in my Sefer in Erevin, because I don't think it's published anyplace else, this idea. Just it should go down for, even though we don't usually follow this psak that I'm going to tell you now. But I verified, so it should be recorded someplace of this psak. And that is like this, that what if you walk into your living room and your parents' home and Teaneck or wherever it is. A lot of times you have an archway, but it doesn't have a molding like this. Separate, but it has a Tzuras HaPesach, but not a separate molding. So there's a Ritva in Erevin, Yud Aleph, that seems to say that a Tzuras HaPesach has to have a molding. Even though Rav Chaim Kanievsky in his Sefer on Mezuzah, Chaim Kanievsky wrote, you know, in Masechtas Ketanos, Meseches Mezuzah, Meseches Kutim, Meseches Avodim, you know, he wrote a Perish. So he has interesting things. So he learns Pshat that the Ritva, he didn't think the Ritva really meant that. The Ritva just means it has to be Niker. But if you're a purist, and you say, no, it has to be, and maybe that's Pshat the Rambam, when the Rambam says the, you know, that's not enough that the wall comes to, makes, you know, you have a drop in the ceiling and there's a, but you need the actual. So Rabbi Ganak told me, and he's a big Rav Soloveitchik person, that Rav Soloveitchik in his own home, then no one of us would do this, he didn't put up mezuzahs unless there was a molding. No, we don't do that. That's not, we hold that that whenever there's a doorway, even though there's no molding, so he's a purist. You know, there are a lot of different purists in the world. So he's a, you know, so I recorded that in the my Sefer in Erevin. It's a Sefer in Erevin, but the Erevin mezuzah have some overlap. So that that was his hypoga, that that you needed dafka a separate piece to make a kona al gabeim, and it wasn't sufficient just to have. But the others, the minhag olam is not that way. The minhag olam, in other words, we don't make a bracha unless there's a door, because the Rambam shita is that you need a door. You need a door. If you don't have a door, you're not chayiv in mezuzah. That's the Rambam sheet. So we don't follow the Rambam. We don't follow the Rambam. We put it. But we, in deference to the Rambam, we don't make a bracha. That's the Shach says. We don't make a bracha unless there's a door. So so even in those cases in your parents' living room where there's this archway going in, there's usually not a door to an archway. I remember as a little kid, I grew up in Brighton Beach. This is where I grew up as a little kid. And then we moved to Flatbush. 1969, he moved to Flatbush. So we were, Brighton Beach was a smaller place, and Flatbush was a bigger place. So I remember, so we were going into the dining room. The house, so it had two doors by the dining room. So my parents were stopping, do we really need these doors? Do we really need these doors or not? So I was a little kid then. So I said to my parents, if we don't have these doors, how are we going to have a surprise party without the doors? That was as a little kid. Now as an older person, I'll say, without the doors, you don't have a chiv mezuzah, according to the Rambam, and you can't make a bracha even if you don't know the Rambam. So with Kedai, so with Ad Hayom Hazeh, they still have those doors. Because I insisted as a little kid that we need the doors because we need the surprise party. So I don't know if we ever had a surprise party, but in theory, we could have the doors. So, but that's the Rambam Shita. So that's why you go into the apartments in Washington Heights. So you go in the front door. So it's not Dalal Dalal, it's on Beishar. So that's then all these living rooms. There's no doors, you know. So and the bedroom is usually the only. And we're not choshish for the maril. There's a maril that says what that a bedroom. We don't follow this, but there is a sheet of. Quoted in the poskim that we usually don't follow in the maril, that if it's a married couple lives in a married couple cohabits together, so therefore there shouldn't be a mezuzah in their room either. So we don't follow that shita. We put up mezuzahs and we don't even follow that shita not to make a bracha. We put it in. There's a discussion in the poskim. You know, most married couples, so when they shut the door, the mezuzah is on the outside. Because the question is whether you're not allowed to be mishamish in front of Sfarim, in front of Kisvei HaKodesh, etc. Unless you have a double covering. So in most cases, and you shut the door, and the mezuzah will be on the other side, and you have the wall is a mechitza, so it's... It's okay, but what if sometimes you have married couples in their house? They have, but they could have another tzuras ha-pesach within the room, or they have, you know, not in Washington Heights so much, but some married couples in some communities they have closets that are dalet al dalet without any chamud de daniel and without any, and it's a real. Real chova, so it can, you know, so then the question becomes: it being mishamish in front of the mezuzah. So lemaisa, so we're choshish. The Aruch HaShulchan says he doesn't think there's any issur being mishamish in front of mezuzah because akocha the Torah is mechayiv in the mezuzah, and the Torah realizes that a married couple is going to live a married life together. So that's not considered a that's the Aruch HaShulchan's approach. There's no issue. And others say no. Others say that that you need so some poskim, as Rav Gutman pointed out, say you can put two kisuyim there. It's good. Some say no. Two kisuyim is not good. If this is made, it's miyuchad l'kach. So some say that since it's nikba on the coastal, it's considered a reshus b'fnei atzmo. In most cases, it works out not to be a problem because in most scenarios, you know, the door closes and the mezuzah is on the outside, so we're all good. But there are situations where it comes. So Rav Goodman told me you can rely on the shita that if you mechave. I think in the Chayadim, Chachmasadim, that if Chachmasadim, I believe he said, if I'm not mistaken, Chachmasadim, have good point out. If you put two kisuyim l'shem kach with kavana, then it should be hepsik, then to take two pieces of aluminum foil or whatever, or maybe, and you put it over the thing, and then, but you know, to get every sheet in. But the Aruch HaShulchan was just says al pi pashtus, that it doesn't, that you know, the Torah is mechayev this, and it was mechayev this. So al korcha, this is not bechlal the that we mishamish in front of mezuzah is not an issue in this. Yeah.
In our mezuzahs, so we have the cloth, and then we have the covering.
Yeah.
So is that called one?
Yeah, it could be one, but see, al pi pashtus, you need one that's not there, you know, normally.
Right. So you just need to cover it once.
Once, yeah, pashtus, yeah. Just as an extra heater. But you're right. That's why some say, I think the Stipler had this, that they would put a nail in the thing and hang a shirt over the mezuzah. That's, it says in Orchas Rabbeinu, maybe that's what the Stipler did. Then you can forget to put the shirt there. It's a little bit awkward, you know, if somebody realizes it, whatever. So there are still different sirufim lahakel on that shayla.
If it's outside, then you have.
The outside, then you have the doors, the machitza. So that's a different rishus. Okay. Then for sure it's it wouldn't be an issue. I look here, it says in Resh Pei Vav Yud, Beis Medrash Potter Mei HaMezuzah. What's the story? Beis Medrash, Beis Knesses. So the simple pshat in the Gemara is that it's Potter. Unless there's someone who lives there. Right? Bezman Chazal, it was a different situation. You know, people lived in the shul. You know, there was the chazen. You know, I grew up in the days. You didn't grow up in these days when every shul had a Shabbos. That's not a thing for this generation. But every shul had the rabbi of the shul, the chazen, and the Shabbos. So in the old days in Europe, the Shabbos lived in the shul. You know, the Shabbos was usually in America, it was. You know, it was, I think, in the art school broke it close to that. Moshe Feinstein came to him. Usually, it was a European person, the Shamus, who didn't speak so much English, so he wasn't going to be the rabbi of the shul because he hardly could speak English. But he was usually a Talmud Chacham, and sometimes a bigger Talmud Chacham than the rav of the shul. And he was the Shamus of the shul. I mean, there was a Shamus of the shul. That's what I think the art school puts out. Moshe Feinstein, when he came to America, the only thing he expected to be was the Shamus of the shul. That's all he expected. You know, a European Rav, who's going to appreciate me in America? History had it differently, but the Rav Yonatan Steif, you know, Rav Yonatan Steif? That's another name you should know. Rav Yonatan Steif was a big Rav in Williamsburg. He was from Europe and was Adas Yireim. So he also had this attitude. He was only, but the Balabatim, he won't give me a shamus in the shul, but the Balabatim who knew him from Europe made a shul just for him, that it shouldn't be a bizoyan with such a gadol b'torah just to be the shamus of the shul. But in those days, the people lived in the shul. That's what the Gemara says. You make kiddush in the shul for the people who live in the shul. In fact, the Beis Yosef writes, one of the reasons why you light Neiris Chanukah in the shul is because the Orchim. It's not like today. You invite somebody to your house for Shabbos, so you don't leave him in shul. You take him home with you. And you know, if you leave him in shul, he won't come back next time. But that's what the Orchim were. They were passerbyers, and they would stay in the shul. They would eat in the shul. So then the shul would have a real chova, you know, or there was someone kavu in the shul who would stay in the shul and live there. Today, in most shuls, maybe one or two shuls still have some people living. It has to be Jewish, obviously, living in the shul. So then the question about what's the story of the of having a mezuzah in a shul b'zman hazeh. And remind me next time, we should start with the story from Purim from several years ago, where Rav Goldwicht, Rav Goldwicht and Purim, besides the Rav Moshe Feinstein once said, this Ephraim Greenblatt told me when I was in Memphis once for Shabbos by Steve Weil's offer. He said, Rav Moshe Feinstein says that no one, if you weren't by the Satmar Rebbe on Purim, you don't know what Simchas Purim is. So I say, if you're not by Rav Goldwicht's house on Purim, you don't know what, by his Suda, you don't know what Simchas Purim is. So you should invite yourself. I mean, it's basically Rosh Hashanah on Purim, so you should stop in. But usually on the Purim night, he has a whole hanhaga of, he has a thing in his house, and then they go as a whole team to the Chagiga. So one year, on the way to the Chagiga, I live in the same building with Rav Goldwicht, he decided that he's going to be koveya a mezuzah on our front door. Our front door doesn't have a mezuzah. We'll explain, maybe. So remind me to explain me why we don't have a front mezuzah on our front door. 475 West 26th Street, there's no mezuzah there. And Rav Goldwicht was a koveya mezuzah that lasted maybe a day or two. And then I found it by the mailbox a day or two later. And what's that all about? And then we have to talk about also the height of the mezuzah also. So you remind me. So Be'ez Hashem, we could say Rav Arieli, I think maybe he's here or not here. We should have Mincha here. And next week, Be'ez Hashem, we'll continue these in Yonim. So we'll take a 2-minute break and we'll daven Mincha.